Hey guys, what's going on? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Well, not this week. Sorry about that, because of Christmas. But
don't be... Even the post office takes days off this week.
I know. I just said we were taking day off.
Don't be a baby. Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a preview of... A game you might have heard about on the schedule.
We got a big day on Christmas.
Of course, we're referring to the mighty, mighty matchup against the Los Angeles Lakers.
And the LA Clippers.
It's a Clippers podcast.
You know, some people might be confused.
We just talk about other teams' games.
Yeah.
We're going to break down what we need to do to win this one, as well as some, worst case scenario, what could go wrong. And get into a few key matchups that you're going to want to go ahead and look for in that one. And then every single Monday, we ask for you guys to submit your questions on Twitter. Anything that's, burning a hole in your
mind,
head, skull.
Oh, man. If that's happening, please call a physician.
Nug bone?
Yeah, if your nug bone is burning.
Then, let us know. As always, if you want a chance to get your question featured on the show, make sure and respond to that. That's at Locked On Clips. We usually send that out every single Monday. If, for whatever reason, though, you don't catch the net, you miss the tweet.
That happens.
Get at us anytime during the week. That's at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips. We'd love to hear from you. Anyways, we're going to be wrapping up that Twitter Tuesday. And it might go into two segments, and then we'll have a little bit of shavings for you, which is just kind of our all-around Clipper land.
It's kind of spicy today, actually.
Empty out the drawer. There's really kind of an interesting piece of news today, so we'll hopefully have some time to dig into that. But without any further ado, let's go.
Clippers, Lakers, Christmas Day preview. You're listening to this on Christmas Eve or the game before the game on Christmas. There's all of a sudden in these past couple days, there's now these injury narratives from the other side.
Yeah.
LeBron and AD are questionable, which I think is, I feel like they should have put questionable in quotes.
It's funny. It just reminds me of
last year
when we played the Lakers and they were questionable.
Kuzma was ruled out. LeBron was ruled out.
Yeah. And Doc basically said, he's like, look, you always prepare to play as though the team is going to be playing with their best players.
Yeah. They're playing,
which
though,
I do
right?
sometimes wonder if you don't do that. Ooh. But I would guess that they both play.
If they have to play.
If they ripped, if they eviscerated Kawhi for a November resting game, I can't imagine what's going to happen if LeBron and AD were both to rest on Christmas Day.
Well, it's funny too, because
it'd be so funny. Actually, nothing would happen. They'd be we don't want these guys to get hurt.
Yeah, because in the grand scheme of things, as hyped up as I am about this as a fan, as absolutely jacked as I am to watch this game on Christmas Day, grand scheme of things,
it's a little inconsequential.
It's a little inconsequential, which is why I think Kuzma, there was some quote today I saw on Twitter where he was like, it's no big deal, it's just a December game. They're already getting that narrative started on that site. LeBron will have had 5 days off.
Yeah.
In his constant self-created battle against load management for some reason.
Interesting the way your narrative starts to shift on regular season losses when you rip off three in a row.
Yeah, when you're just getting worked by the Nuggets. That'll happen. Is this as psyched as you've been for a regular season game other than opening night before we get into kind of some what we need to do to win type stuff?
Opening night was a little bit higher for me just because of the...
It was so new.
But now that I contemplate it a little bit more, this is a more exciting game. We'll talk about this more in a couple other segments, but obviously it'll be a debut of Paul George. And then I think this will be the first time Landry Shamet will have been healthy in the lineup against the Lakers.
Oh, I like that.
He played last time. I think he ended up shooting around 33% from the field.
That was when we were all kind of questioning if his wrist was okay too.
Yeah. He was just still definitely working through something.
Yeah.
I think it seems a lot more clear now. But anyways, what do we need to do to win this one?
Momentum.
Okay.
It's going to be it's going to be more important than any other game we played, other than maybe that Bucks game.
We've been playing a lot of games of runs recently.
Dude, I would I'm tired of them.
And I would
Let's get
like,
some solid foods in our diet or something. I don't want, that's they're on a three-game losing
streak. Highbrow humor here.
They're on a three-game losing streak, one of which we have not had this year. with each game being a worse loss than the one before it. So not the best kind of three-game losing streak.
I love the way you phrase that. It's beautiful. beautiful.
So we have, they're going to come out strong. Like, you have to think, Will's got his knife out right now for some reason, stabbing his computer. There's going to be an early onslaught. They're going to try and get some early lobs, I bet. That was something they kind of pestered us with in the first game of what they do against teams.
Really? I wonder if, just given how much of their, they like to play, like, they like to put 80 in the post, if they go a little harder at us, maybe when the second unit's out there.
I mean, I don't know with who. We'll talk about that in the matchups.
We can dig into that a little bit more in matchups.
We've just kind of been trading buckets with teams to start out the first quarter, it feels like. It doesn't matter what level of team, but we're like, let's trade buckets and see what happens after the first.
Interestingly enough, when we played the Lakers last time, we lost the first quarter and the third quarter.
There you go. Can't do that this game.
I do not think that we can do that this game.
What else do you think we need to do?
We got to win rebounding. Doc said...
We literally have to.
Doc said pregame before opening night, his thought that evening was basically whoever won rebounding would probably win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And we came of that way with that one. I believe it was 45 to 42 or 46 to 42.
Narrow discrepancy given what's flourished since then for both teams, more so us.
Yeah, very narrow discrepancy. They are the middle... of the NBA in total rebounds,
like dead middle.
Yeah, so I mean, we could definitely win that. They have a wide distribution of rebounds. I feel like so do we.
Yeah,
theirs is even a little bit top heavier than ours.
And they play a lot of these guys at the same time, which is why it's so interesting.
Yeah, well, reading this makes sense to me. Their top four rebounders are AD, LeBron, Dwight, JaVale.
Yeah,
I mean. Three centers and LeBron, which kind of makes sense. And then you look at ours, and it's a lot more. You got a lot more guards and forwards who are soaking up a reasonable amount of rebounds.
A lot more scattershot from our perspective. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Oh, totally. I think the guard boards will help in our favor in that.
And I think Jamichael's going to help big with this too.
From a positioning perspective, yes.
Yeah. That's going to be big.
And then just going on with Jamichael, what we need to do to win is just out-volume them from three.
Dude, I love it when we do that. I was so tired last year talking about how that happened to us.
Yeah. They're a bottom 10 team in the league in terms of three-point attempts. We are like the middle. We're like right around that 15 number.
Okay.
We're currently taking around like 2 to 3 more threes per game than them. I kind of expect us to exploit this, just given I do feel like they have the tools to give us a little bit of trouble on the interior.
Interior for sure. And we saw that against the Thunder where we got murked inside.
Yeah.
Trez played something like 19 straight minutes in the second half of that game. If we're getting killed inside, it would be nice to see maybe some Zubac spelling. Like if Trez has to play like 17 minutes in a row again, that would kind of suck. I think we can still win with that, obviously.
For sure.
That's just a lot of run for him to get.
And then in three-point percentage, ours is slightly better than theirs. It's talking about a couple percentage points, but in terms of rank in the NBA, we're like ninth and they're bottom half, I believe.
Yeah, they're at 35%. Which is middle of the road again. They're middle of the road in so many, like dead middle in so many fairly important stats.
Yeah, well, I think that kind of checks to me if it's like almost the Clippers of last year. If you have a team that can, with its rotation pieces, manage like, 48 wins, say, and then you add two superstars.
You're probably that's good.
Kind of the difference between a solid team and a great team.
And a great team, for sure.
So what could go wrong in this one now that we talk about two great teams clashing?
What could go wrong? I mean, it's kind of their duo. Well, we got a lot to get in. Let's come into the next segment. We're going to get into what could go wrong against this Lakers and Clippers game. Okay, what could go wrong? Their duo, I mean, it's two big duos.
Yeah.
That's what's hard because they haven't seen us.
It's like full Long strength. Beach Dub All-Stars versus Sublime with Rome.
Dog, it's like, who wins, dude? Like, anyway, now I'm totally off track. I mean, obviously Sublime, but, Long Beach Dub maybe has a competition there. So it's nice that they have, like you mentioned, this is PG's debut against the Lakers.
Yep, yeah.
I think that I wish it was any other coach other than Vogel.
Why is that?
Because he kind of knows PG a little bit more.
Nah.
Nah, but we got loot, which helps.
Not this version of PG.
So this is what we want this year, not these last couple of games version of PG.
Yeah.
If these last couple of games version of PG shows up, things might be a little harder for us.
Yeah.
It's going tough. I hope we can get to Kawhi's pace.
That
kind of like where the game is, Kawhi is dictating kind of what's happening anytime he's on the court.
Okay.
His gravity on defense, everything like that. I think LeBron might be at full strength. I don't know if AD is going to be.
Interesting. So of the two, you're more worried about the AD injury.
Yeah, he was like literally like limping on his knee in that Nuggets game and like grabbing at it after he'd get up and stuff. Yeah,
no,
it,
you it, hate to see that. That's
it's
so
horrible.
Rough.
Justin Russo was tweeting about it. He was like, it's a 22-point game right now. Davis is literally like clutching his knee. Take him out of the game.
There's nothing for you to win at that point.
There's nothing
for
you to
win. Even if
you
win the game.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Our guys are going to be at 100%. Our duo, which is going to be fantastic. The 2-3 will be. So with our duo being healthy, I mean, I obviously like that so much more than the opposite.
Yeah, that's odd. I had a couple of ideas in these. Sorry, guys.
We're still
in what could go wrong. So they are the number one shooting team in field goal percentage.
Which kind of blew my mind.
obviously, they like to play close to the basket. Do you think that we could get hurt in this one if we end up trying to play the zone or push the zone?
I had that in the matchups, and it feels like a conundrum.
Yeah, they have. I mean, like,
LeBron's taking the most threes on the team, which is hilarious.
Totally. Yeah, and he's hitting them at like a 36% clip. Kuzma's hitting at like a 36% clip. He's taking like four a game, which is, I think, the second highest. And then Danny Green.
killed us last time.
Yeah. Third highest. He's at like 38%. Rondo, I believe, is their only shooter above 40%.
So, yeah.
He's
and
at
you
42%.
Know that that's going to come out on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah. He loves to kill us from three.
Yeah, that's for sure going to happen.
So that could definitely go wrong. Rondo could get hot from three.
Do you think we test the zone? And then we're like, all right, if LeBron's not shooting it well, we're going to stay in the zone type thing?
I don't see why we wouldn't. It's right? Become like such a big part of our identity, especially in Lou minutes, that I don't know why we wouldn't explore it.
Yeah, and they take, so LeBron and AD combine for 40 field goal attempts a game, and around 30 of those are two-point attempts. And they're taking the most attempts, obviously, on that team. So, like, if we lose containment on these guys, and their supporting cast is hitting, this would be a tough go.
Yeah. I mean,
which you can kind of say for every team, but we almost have to try and contain one of the big two.
Absolutely. No.
Which is it?
Those guys combine for, you know, like 40 plus field goal attempts a game.
Yeah.
So you can't just have both of them doing their thing.
Yeah, you can't be like, well, I wonder if two of them can beat us. The answer is probably yes.
I mean, I think we try to force LeBron to shoot probably a little bit more. I think that's like the idea. And even Anthony Davis, like if you can get him a little bit, have him getting the ball a little bit further out from the post where he's a little bit less comfortable. He hasn't been that great at shooting the three this year.
He's been bad at shooting the three, I'd say.
Yeah, he's only hitting at he's at a sub 30% clip on almost four attempts a game.
Which is like fine. So, and what's his free throw percentage? His free throw percentage is also...
No, his free throw percentage is solid. It's 86%.
All right, 86, that's good. They're one of the lower teams in free throw percentage as a team, which is interesting.
73% as a team from the charity stripe, which is something that could definitely favor us. They also are only taking about 22 attempts per game.
Are we worried about the refs in this one?
We're taking four more attempts. We're taking a lot more attempts per game.
Yeah.
So if guys aren't getting to the line, I worry not even just about those baseline points, but I think that lately we've seen that the composure hasn't been there.
That's what I'm a little
And I think this game is a little bit of a pressure cooker. I would love to say that this is the game that you bounce back from those sort of mistakes from, but I think that this is the kind of game that bad habits are going to get exacerbated.
Yeah, I put the last
so that could
here,
definitely go wrong. Like that just as an overarching yes. What could go wrong if our bad habits carry over,
it's the vibe.
This is like, yeah, this is like gonna amplify them.
It's 100% the vibe. If you look at the last game, we can't have a we got this vibe if we end up up. I don't think we will. I'm really hoping that Thunder game taught us kind of a season-long lesson or something like that.
Yeah.
Of like, we can't do this. Like, we can't
We're
do
not
this.
The man.
We're not the man. And we might, at some point we might be, we can't act like it ever.
No.
Anything else that could go wrong before we get into these key matchups?
No, let's try to get into these key matchups. I wanted to, it. Just jumping into this one, dive key in. Matchup-wise, let's rank the following X factors.
Oh, no.
Okay. So you have the return of Landry, who I'm going to say actually healthy this time.
Yes, fully healthy. I would agree with that.
The debut of Paul George.
Oof.
And game not taking place on a LeBron-owned day of the week. First, just for anyone who may not remember.
Yeah, what is that?
The opening night was on Tuesday.
Of course. Yeah, no tacos in the press room. You son of a bitch. Most important is the debut of George.
Okay.
I think I'm putting game not taking place on LeBron on Tuesday and 2, Shamit at 3. And I don't mean this as a disrespectful thing to Shamit. Teams focus on Sham. And if he's on that second unit, it's a little harder to focus on him because you got to try and deal with the Lou and Tress thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're keyed in on Shamit.
Do you think
they are Paul George, but I think his talent usurps all of that.
Do you think we see any switches to the possible signing lineup?
Ooh, haven't even thought about that till you brought it up. I don't think so.
I like Landry out there.
Really? Because they don't, I mean,
if Jermichael's healthy, I like Landry out there.
I like that. I'm kind of torn because I don't know if I want to completely try and shut down that starting unit from like the get-go with Mo out there.
Mm.
But I kind of like that idea with Jermichael and, I still think I want Mo as just like a, we're not even going to let Danny Green.
We can keep one. We can have a little bit of continuity as a treat. We can have a little bit. Just
what
a little
you,
bit.
What do you rank these as?
I'm actually weirdly going to rank Landry at 1. I just think
fair.
That,
I mean, you could rank him at 1 for the exact same reason I put him at 3 almost.
If he's able to connect from 3 and demand the type of magnetism that we've seen before, it's going to go a long way towards, especially my number 2 X factor here, just being Paul George. His debut, I mean, like,
because Paul George and Landry,
this to me is a weird bad blood game. There was just that extended saga of Paul going to the Lakers.
Yeah. Made the Pacers hate him.
Yeah, and we don't need to dig too much into that. But, I mean, that is kind of the reason that he's not on amicable terms with the team that drafted him.
For sure. I agree with that.
And it's got to be one of those things, too, that, like, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't end up wanting to get the deal done, and he's back at home, and it's not where they thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him kind of show out. He's had his last couple of games haven't been spectacular.
He's bordering on a slump, I would say.
So it'd be nice to see him kind of bounce back and not go down 3 straight like some other losers who've gone down 3 straight recently. And the last X factor I will say is, you know, not being on a Taco Tuesday.
Could be a rest day for LeBron too, for all we know. One thing I'm looking at is Danny Green versus Kawhi.
Okay.
So we didn't have Paul George in the opening game.
Yeah.
The Lakers had Green on Kawhi for the most part of the game, and he only shot 1 of 5.
Yeah.
So Danny Green was clamping up Kawhi, but
Kawhi did still finish with 30 points, though. I will say that.
And this is why. Because when he was guarded by KCP, he went 5 of 5. So KCP is getting singled out in this one, dude. Kawhi was 1 of 5 against Danny Green. He was 9 of 13 against everyone else who guarded him. So we should be targeting KCP every single chance we get that he's on the floor. I don't even care who has the ball. Get KCP as your defender.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's got to be that.
And yeah, we've spent so much talking about these top tier guys. Let's get into a key matchup, which is just going to be bench versus bench.
Oh, my God. So, I just want the bench to just churn out the Lakers bench on this one.
Our bench kind of dumped on theirs last game. Outscoring the Lakers 19-60 for the Clipper point. For the Clippers.
It's going to be like that. They have to play their starters so much.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this one shakes out. This is another thing that gets interesting if we see Jermichael healthy and we see Landry on that second unit. There's some interesting things going on.
Your point about Landry in the first unit, one of the things I like about that, just so many threes to be had.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we could out-volume him for sure, is putting him out there on that.
Yeah.
Jermichael went 4 of 7 from three the last time, which makes me think that their bench defense isn't exactly that good on the perimeter. We're going to be facing AB and Rondo as the bench backcourt, I'm pretty sure. What are we thinking? Lou and Sham? Lou and Derek Walton Jr.?
Lou... Nah, Lou and Sham and maybe some Magruder in there.
I'm not too worried about their backup backcourt.
No, not too much.
Unless Rondo goes nuclear on us. Anything else before we get to these very important predictions?
No, I think that'll do it. We're about on time, about all the time we got for this preview. So,
what do you think's going to happen, dog? We are recording this on the 23rd.
I think that we win this one. I like, man, I feel weird just because we've had kind of a difficult schedule.
Gets easy, right? You know, right at this game.
But they've also had a rough couple of games.
They're looking for a bounce back. We're looking for a bit of a bounce back from that OKC game.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess there's some injury concerns on their side. I think that we take this one. I'm going to say 117-112.
Close. Yeah, okay. I was going to
pull away at the end.
I was going to say close victory. It's the Lakers. It's Christmas Day. We might have a little bit of playing down or something. There's going to be that like matched up thing.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Clips too.
If we blow either the first or third quarter, though, like we have been kind of in games recently, like completely blowing a quarter, this ain't going to happen. You can throw this preview right in the trash.
We might get a stream going or something at the halftime. We'll figure it out. Let us know what you guys think is going to happen with the game. Got a couple of days to ruminate on it. Coming up after this, we got some Twitter Tuesdays and, of course, some shavings. Okay. Welcome to Twitter Tuesdays.
All right.
Segment might go
Let's get into these
longer.
Questions.
At SimonShum90, ask us to list our number one concerns for the team up to this point. Danny H. adds to this that he thinks the blowing leads is the biggest problem. And he wants to know if that's attributed to the lack of practice and reps with a full roster or by the amount of back-to-backs. I think the number one concern actually is kind of the blowing leads thing. And I think it's a continuity thing. It's annoying, and there's some mentality stuff with it. But I would put it like 70-30 continuity to mentality.
Well, here's the thing. I think the mentality definitely plays into it. Because this was something that would happen last year, too.
Definitely.
And, I don't know. Sometimes there's a disengagement. We don't see people like full on like hang their heads and like consigning to losing a game.
Good call.
Which I do respect, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like we just keep talking about composure over and over again. And I do think that that is an issue that's deeper than continuity.
Okay. I like how those are, I like how you separated those. Sometimes I conflate those.
I think that they're, I mean, like, it's something that's definitely solvable.
For sure.
Especially as the season goes on and, you know, they continue to win games, they'll know just how winnable games are.
Because that's part of being such a new team is figuring out how to win games.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But it is a fair concern, too.
It is a fair concern. And, you know, we've talked to death on here about the gelling periods and like the health and
just starting
and everything. But yeah, I think that some of the carelessness is something that is concerning.
Flippant.
It's on both ends of the floor. Obviously, like defensively, you expect Lou Will to take some possessions off. Obviously, defensively, you will settle, for not 100% effort on every single play. But I think some of the things that hurt us is just like when we have like a, like Trez will have like back-to-back turnovers just inbounding a ball.
Dude, or like, okay, against the Rockets, we had a couple of those. And it was just like, these are out of character. Like, what the hell? This is not even stuff we saw.
I think it's that kind of stuff where it's just like, no, you put so little thought into that possession that it like totally changes the momentum.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that like the mistakes, it's like we were talking about the shooting percentages kind of in the preseason and the start of the season. They're so silly that it's like, I don't feel concerned about it enough yet as it being serious.
Yeah.
I think that it is an issue. I do think that it's a solvable issue. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think I definitely think the blowing leads. That seems the biggest concern, but we'll figure that out. You know, I hope. At MF Zook wants to know if we think that Lou Williams is the real face of the franchise. And at Fuji Fun Guy Kawhi added he thinks Lou is the most important player to the team's success. Also, shout out Fuji Fun Guy Kawhi. Wishes a happy holidays. Hope he's having a good one.
Lou will bend the face of this franchise.
I think he is.
I'm going to lead with that. Lou Will has been the face of this franchise.
It's because he's the perfect mix of, I mean, he's charismatic.
Yep.
He's fantastic at basketball.
Yep.
And he has a, so Kawhi has this too, obviously, but Lou Will has like a presence and an air and like a heft to his rep, as does Kawhi.
Yeah.
But Lou really kind of like,
he commands a respect.
And last year was so huge going towards that.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So I think it is Lou. I kind of think that it is Lou. I mean, there's so many guys who are the face of this franchise. You know, yeah. Pat Bev is,
because I was going to say Pat Bev's like 1B.
Montrez is the face of this franchise.
Yeah.
Kawhi and Paul George, you know, kind of together are the face of this franchise. There's a lot of faces. It's that band, that Rod Stewart band, The Faces.
Oh, good ref. Wow, deep pull.
Ooh La La Clippers.
Damn, dude, you're on one today. And then a spicy one from at 8390613, if you want to give them a follow after this.
Hi-yo.
Is Doc ever going to deal with PG-13's lack of effort?
Okay, so I think,
here's what I think they were talking about.
I think you might be mistaken that Paul George is just too smooth.
Oh.
Looks like he's not trying. But he's just smooth.
It's like the Dimitri Berbatov philosophy. Famous, I believe he was Belarusian soccer player. He said where he would always get criticized for playing lazily. And he said, where I'm from, if you're very good at this, you look like you're not trying.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't look like you're trying while you're embarrassing people. And when Paul George is destroying, it looks like he's not trying, and I mean that in a good way.
No, it's always the thing where it's like, God, he's at 20 right now?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he is 30?
I also think this question maybe comes from some of those turnovers in the OKC game.
Yeah.
Which, like, his passing is the worst part of his game.
So, this is something that's, right? Like, we're going to need to do a deeper dive on at some point, but
put that scuba gear on, player.
I had been so hyped up on his passing game, especially like coming off of screens and in the pick and roll. I had thought it would be a really effective part of his game. And I feel like, I don't know if it's due to lack of continuity. I don't know if it's because he's been taking a heavier scoring load instead of being able to focus on distribution, but it has not been to the level
there
that I thought it would be.
Yeah, I hope it comes back I hope it gets to like 70% of what I enjoy from Kawhi's passing. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But I don't think he's being lazy.
No,
that's
unfair. I don't think so either. So,
a couple of shavings?
Yeah, let's get into some shavings.
This is just kind of a soapbox thing for me.
All right.
Bleacher Report put out one of the worst pieces of content I've seen in a very long time. And look, if you've seen my internet history and what I do at work, I've seen a lot of bad content. It's a claymation reenactment of that scene in Step Brothers when they're trying to go to sleep and they start like talking shit about like, I'm going to put a
House of Learned Doctors. Yeah.
First of all, weird choice of players to use based on their upbringings. LeBron famously does not know his father, Kawhi's father. We all know the tragic story there. It also starts with 'twas two nights before Christmas. This was not time sensitive. You just could have put this out on Christmas Eve.
Agreed.
And just had, it's just like, and it's like, it's claymation. So some claymation artists, I hope, got paid, probably not, a fair wage to make this just to have the Step Brothers dubbed over it.
Totally.
It felt like just too many culture things being jammed into one NBA Twitter piece of content.
So you would say that Bleacher Report is the melting pot of culture?
Yes, I absolutely would. And I'll tell you one thing, melting pots are actually bad because they make everything homogenized. A braided stream is more so what you want. Okay. All right, let's get into this actual piece. The Sam Amick article from The Athletic, which was about the untold stories from Kawhi Leonard's free agency.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which sounds like a Days of Our Lives.
Oh yeah,
fucking subplot. Basically, Uncle Dennis.
Basically, he was in a coma the whole time.
Yeah, Kawhi was in a coma.
He woke up and he was like, "Another ring? What? What is this doing on my finger?"
He woke up and he said, "Bomber," and they're like, "That's who we choose." Woj was right there. Basically, Uncle Dennis asked for hella stuff from the Raptors, Lakers, and Clippers.
Yeah,
an absurd amount of stuff. He wanted a 1% ownership stake in whatever team they went to. Private plane with unlimited access. First of all, that's redundant, Uncle Dennis. Of course it's unlimited access. It's a private plane.
I'm giving as many thumbs up as I can for all these requests.
A home, which we can talk about in a few minutes, you might have actually got. And then endorsement money. So, the Clippers were investigated. An investigation found the Clippers didn't grant any of these requests.
Yeah.
Just be ready for it.
I think it's kind of funny. It like, obviously you ask for everything that you can get if you have the biggest player in at the time of free agency. Oh, Kawhi was the biggest player in the NBA.
And you're Uncle Dennis, so you're like, yeah, dude, give me all this stuff.
Yeah, it reminds me of the scene in A Marriage Story where he's consulting Ray Liotta, the lawyer.
Yeah,
and he's like, if we start from place of reasonable and they start from a place of crazy, we'll end up somewhere in the middle. And I think if you're Uncle Dennis, you gotta ask for everything you
get. You're going for the like, all right, so
you gotta
maybe
swing for the fences, baby.
Maybe if I ask for ownership, plane, apartment, money, maybe they'll just give me the apartment. Like, that might be kind of tight. Now the Clippers were cleared of any wrongdoing. Adam Silver hates like cap penalty circumnavigation and stuff. We'll say one spicy thing to keep an eye on.
What do you got?
The Kawhi apartment across from Staples was purchased through Uncle Dennis's LLC. I'm just leaving it at that.
Yeah.
Just leaving it at that.
Yes.
Do you think they gave Dennis like a, they were like, do you think?
And the money was not actual U.S. tender.
No, it was Bomber Bucks.
It was Bomber Bucks.
It's his new cryptocurrency. It's actually not cryptocurrency. It's all.
It's craptocurrency.
It's craptocurrency. Do we think that he like said these demands and then Steve Ballmer just like threw a Clippers Hoop Troop t-shirt at him and was like, this is what you're getting?
Yes.
Because we haven't, correct me if I'm wrong, we have not seen Uncle Dennis in any of the games.
I don't believe so.
Huh.
I think Larry sat him down and he was like, here's what I can offer you.
Larry?
Lawrence.
God damn.
Here's what I can offer you. 100 level seats.
That's not bad.
For free.
To be fair, for free.
A ride in my
car.
In my car, which is, I'm going to guess, C300.
They're going on a ride around the block.
I also have these meal vouchers for Panera Bread.
Which Panera Bread?
Any location.
See, this is where, so as some of the faithful listeners of this podcast might know, I am obsessed with food-based trades. This is where I think that comes into play real heavy, baby. I think he's getting a bunch of In-N-Out vouchers, Ludo Bird on deck anytime he wants.
Yeah.
Wetzel's Pretzels all day.
I don't know that Kawhi eats.
No, I don't. He's
not for pleasure, at least. Not for pleasure. Kawhi, he does not eat for pleasure.
Kawhi doesn't eat. He satiates. He's like, I don't eat. I satiate. It's all important. Anything else about this Athletic article?
No. This
just be ready to defend it, I guess.
Just yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those things that kind of gets aggregated in ways that's like unfortunate for like a piece that is really interestingly written. I think that people like take something that is like the easy to grab headline and kind of like just make that the focus of the story.
2 days before the Christmas showdown.
Yeah, and like really, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. So like once again, I don't mean to soapbox, but like, read the people that write about the things that are important.
Yeah, like Sam Amick. It was a great piece. Is that it?
Yeah, that's all we got for you today.
We
got
to give a shout out to our new Twitter follower, the Agua Caliente Clippers followed us.
Hey, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Hell yeah, dude. We'd love to do a Locked On Agua Caliente Clippers podcast. A little longer of an acronym, but we'll get there. So Thursday's episode, again, we are taking a break on Christmas.
Yeah.
Hope everyone has a great time or whatever holiday you celebrate. We hope it's fantastic.
We'll probably have a post-game recap for you on
later. All right, on Thursday.
Sunday.
Recap. we're taking 2.5 weeks off. We're going to recap with that hopeful victory over the Lakers. We're doing Thirsty Thursdays. Whatever the hell else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on Deezer. Shout out Deezer, our favorite music streaming service. You can also check out the band Pencil Pusher on Deezer.
Also check us out on Spotify, iTunes. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Leave a rating or review. We love it. If you leave a review, we will read it on the air. Positive, negative,
no matter.
Ambiguous.
What? I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Uptake. We appreciate you.